Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" They paid him 30 pieces of silver. From that time on, he looked for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples approached Jesus and said, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time has drawn near. In your house I shall celebrate the Passover with my disciples.'" The disciples then did as Jesus had ordered and prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Deeply distressed at this, they began to say to him one after another, "Surely not I, Lord." He said in reply, "He who has dipped his hand into the dish with me is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born." Then Judas's betrayer said in reply, "Surely it is not I, Rabbi." Jesus answered, "You have said so." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Happens throughout this week is that the church gives us two perspectives to look at what is occurring. First, God's perspective, and second, the perspective of us in response. God's perspective is given in these four suffering servant psalms of Isaiah. Today we have the third from chapter 50. It talks first about Isaiah, but then in its fulfillment about Jesus, that God had given him a well-trained tongue to speak to the weary a word that will rouse them. Jesus wants to rouse us. And the way he will do it is fundamentally through his body language, through all he suffers this week. "I have not rebelled. I haven't turned back. I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard. My face I didn't shield from buffets and spitting." He said he has set his face like flint, that very hard rock that the ancients used to put at the tip of spears. He had set his face resolutely toward Jerusalem, as St. Luke would say in the fulcrum of his gospel, toward Calvary, toward the Father, toward our redemption. And nothing would divert him from that task. And he knew that he wasn't alone as he did it. "The Lord God is my help. Who can prove me wrong?" Jesus wishes to rouse us despite our weariness, and he knows what wears us down most. It's not because of the fatigue for all the tasks that sisters of life have to do. It's fundamentally the weight of our sinfulness. That's what crushes us over the course of time. And Jesus wants us to respond to the way he wishes, to lift that burden and nail it with him once and for all to Calvary. And that brings us into the heart of today's gospel. Early this week, we focused on this contrast between Judas and Peter in their approach to the Lord. But here we see it in all its nakedness. Judas went to the chief priests and asked, "How much will you give me if I betray him to you?" And they gave him 90 days' wages, 30 silver pieces, quarter of a year's salary. Nothing. Pretty much a quarter of what Mary of Bethany would waste on Jesus' feet with that precious aromatic nard. But what was behind the sin of Judas? Why would Jesus say at the very end, it would be better for that man if he had never been born? Because Judas, unfortunately, even though he had accompanied Jesus for 3 years by this point, had never gotten lesson 101. He never realized why Jesus had come into the world. He didn't pay attention to that echo of John the Baptist, that Jesus was the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. He had never grasped the parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost sons. He hadn't figured out what the Lord had done in his reconciliation of Zacchaeus, or the paralyzed man, or the woman at the well, or the woman caught in adultery. He hadn't figured out what Jesus had said about forgiving 70 times 7 times, and that Judas would always be able to approach his mercy. He hadn't discerned why Jesus would have chosen as the rock on whom he would build his church someone whose first words were, depart from me, from a sinful man, or another who was a mafia don, as a tax collector, St. Matthew. None of this Judas grasped. And if we don't appreciate God's mercy, it is better for us never to have been born, because if we don't understand it, we don't approach it. We can't receive the eternal life for which God created us. So Judas is a warning to us. Sure, each of us will betray the Lord. Sometimes we'll do it out of weakness, because our flesh is weak despite our willing spirit. Sometimes we may even do it out of calculation. But if we turn back to the Lord will give us mercy. But if we don't know that it is there, if we don't know that Jesus will always extend it to us, if we ask for it humbly, then our existence is a waste. Why did Judas betray the Lord Jesus? The great theologians have posited 5 different reasons. One is simply for the money. But that doesn't seem plausible, because once Judas had grasped that Jesus was going to be killed, he didn't think that, shockingly enough, despite the fact that Jesus had multiply mentioned that this was exactly what was going to occur. When he discovered that Jesus was going to be killed, he went back and he threw the money on the temple floor. Others say that it was because he thought he was betrayed by Jesus, that he had signed up more or less to be the CFO of an earthly messianic administration. And when he became aware that Jesus was doing something else, was burned. For example, if somebody today signed up on a political campaign for president, but then 2 months into the campaign recognized that the candidate really didn't want to be a candidate for president, but just wanted to use it as an opportunity to trumpet one particular cause or another, the person might feel a little spurned. Some people posit that was precisely what Judas was thinking. Others said that Judas was doing it similar to Mary at the wedding feast of Cana. Even though it wasn't Jesus' hour, Mary precipitated his hour by asking him to do something right then. And some say that Judas was trying to do the same with Jesus, get him arrested so that he would have to show the type of Messiah, the son of David, whom they had been hoping for a long time, to kick out the corrupt priests, to get rid of the Romans, etc. It's kind of like going up and pushing a strong man, because you really want to see his strength, and you're just seeing what it takes to get him to act. The 4th reason is fundamentally spiritual rather than psychological. That Satan had entered into him, that you had that whole mysterium iniquitatis that John Paul II used to talk about, that mystery of sinfulness that defies human explanation. But I think the best explanation is the one given by Fulton J. Sheen, that Judas betrayed Jesus because he was sickened by him. And he had a lack of faith such that he opposed Jesus in the essence of what he was trying to do, which was what? Fulton J. Sheen points out that the first time that Jesus knew who would be the one who would betray him was exactly a year before this, the previous Passover, when in Capernaum Jesus announced that to be his disciple we would need to gnaw on his flesh and drink his blood. That's when he lost the crowds. That's when he lost the vast majority of the disciples who said this is too hard a teaching, who can endure it? But that's also when Judas was exposed. His lack of faith in what Jesus was saying was evident. And a year later, when Jesus fulfilled what he had said in the Capernaum synagogue and took bread and wine and totally transformed it into his body and blood and said, take and eat, take and drink. That's when Judas went out into the night. That was what had made him snap. He couldn't accept what Jesus was doing, how humble he would become in order to be able to save us and feed us. And so out he went. Whatever the reason, we've got much to learn from Judas's fall. For us to get right what he got wrong, to depend on Jesus' mercy, like Peter did after Peter himself had betrayed the Lord, and like the other 10 did when they themselves came back. And to strengthen our faces like flint on the medicine Jesus gives us to introduce us more and more into his merciful life, which is the Holy Eucharist. It was Judas' downfall. It's meant to be what lifts us up. Jesus today announces a word for us who are weary. And ultimately it is, this is my body given for you. This is the chalice of my blood given for the redemption of your sins. Let us resolutely set our faces on this in such a way that we can similarly become signs announcing with our body language where the medicine of eternity is. Praise be Jesus Christ.